We hope today's edition of the Hour of Power will be encouraging and uplifting for you and your family. If you have a prayer request you would like to send after the program, email it to hourofpower32@gmail.com. You're listening to a broadcast produced daily, Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. on therockchristianmusic.com and live on Facebook on The Rock Christian Music page. Or you can find us on the Paragon Communications app and take us with you everywhere.
Good morning. You are tuned in to the Hour of Power, the most powerful hour of the day. I'm your host this morning, Tina Dobbs. My sister in Christ, Monica Lovell, is over there running the iPad. And our guest this morning is Pastor Tim Patterson.
Good morning.
Can't see him right now. She had to step out. If you have a praise report or a prayer request, you can send them to us three ways. You can email it to ourpower32@gmail.com. You can text it to 580-485-0837. And you can still comment on the Facebook page, and we'll do our best to get it on paper and pray for you about halfway through the program. Our sponsor this morning is Gateway Church with Pastor Chasten Music in Elk City. If you'd like a entry onto our book blessing wheel for the month of July, all you got to do is like, share, and comment. Done on the Facebook page. Our book for this month is Flickering Lamps, Christ and His Church by Henry and Richard Blackaby, and it was donated to us by Pastor Tim.
Excellent book. Excellent book.
We do record in two parts, and we'll do our best to get that uploaded shortly after the program has ended. I think I covered it all. Did I cover it all?
It didn't get posted yesterday because you wasn't here.
Oh, okay. We'll get both of those posted.
Don't lie and say
okay.
We.
You I'll will. Get those posted shortly after the program has ended today.
I love you and so glad you're here.
I'm glad to be here. I think I covered it all. Would you like to pray to start us out?
Yes. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this day. Thank you for the opportunity to get to look into your word together. We ask that you would anoint me to speak your words, that it would encourage and challenge the hearts of the listeners, Lord, and that you would work according to your will, that the needs that are represented by those listening in, God, that you would meet those needs and that you would minister to their hearts and that you would just work in a mighty way. In Jesus' name, amen.
I'm glad you're feeling better. Yes. And you was able to join us
yes,
this morning.
Thank you. It has been a little bit of a journey with the whole household being sick, but God's been good. Nothing like coming back from a vacation conference trip and your wife say, all of our kids are sick. Here, help. But the Lord's been good, and all my kids are better, wife's better, and I'm feeling better. So
praise
it
Lord.
Is very good.
I like your title. Yes. Why you and I can have hope.
Yes, yes. Why we can have hope. We kind of live in a world that if you talk very long with some people, you can hear it. They kind of are hopeless. And what hope they have is wishful thinking. And the kind of hope we're going to talk about today isn't wishful thinking. It's biblical hope. There is a big difference between biblical hope and what we would call that wishful thinking, a proverbial crossing the fingers. Anybody ever done that? You know, cross your fingers, toes, everything you can cross, you're crossing, right? Because you're just hoping something would works out, right? Sometimes that's how we approach prayer. I think it's not a prayer of faith. It's a prayer of wishful thinking and hope. We hope God's going to do it. We hope that it's going to happen. That's not the type of hope that God desires for us to have. That's wishful thinking. The hope that he has for us is like what one man said, biblical hope is not simply, wishful thinking. It is confident expectation. And I love it. The psalmist said, my expectation is of the Lord. And so we'll be in Psalms 42 and 43 today. I hope that I can bring a little bit of understanding to our hearts today of what hope means. And when we have that, it really becomes a person who has an understanding of what biblical hope is. You'll be a force of joy, of peace, and godly living that enables the gospel to go further through your life. And so in Psalms 42 and 43, really originally written as one psalm, and then when the canon of Scripture was done, it was separated into two. So we'll just read it through. Sister, thank you so much. Y'all pardon me. So Psalms 42 says, as the hart, or as the deer, panteth after the water brook, so panteth my soul after thee. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my meat day and night, while they continually say unto me, where is thy God? When I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me, for I had gone with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God, with the voice of joy and praise, with the multitude that kept holy day. Why art thou cast down, O my soul, and why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. O my God, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore will I remember thee from the land of Jordan, and of the Hermonites from the hill Mizar. Deep calleth unto deep at the noise of thy waterspouts. All thy waves and thy billows are gone over me. Yet the Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime, and in the night his song shall be with me, and my prayer unto the God of my life. I will say unto God my rock, why hast thou forgotten me? Why go I mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? As with a sword in my bones, mine enemies reproach me, while they say daily unto me, where is thy God? Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him who is the health of my countenance and my God. Judge me, O God, and plead my cause against an ungodly nation. O deliver me from the deceitful and unjust man, for thou art the God of my strength. Why dost thou cast me off? Why go I mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? O send out thy light and thy truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring me unto thy holy hill and to thy tabernacles. Then will I go unto the altar of God, unto God my exceeding joy. Yea, upon the harp will I praise thee, O God my God. Why art thou cast down, O my soul, and why art thou disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him who is the health of my countenance and my God. And so these two psalms, if you'll just allow me to lay a little bit of a foundation here for us this morning. The identity, the tone of 42 and 43, they just mesh together. It's very obvious that they were at one time one psalm. And in this Psalm 42, we see where the psalmist said, as the hart, or as the deer, panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee. And, the soul is the seat of the emotions. It thirsts, it's cast down, it's disquieted, it is poured out, and it can be bidden to hope. And so I'm going to do a little bit of reading today. I hope y'all don't mind. Some people just say it better than I can. Most people can say it better than I can. But thus tremulous, timid, and mobile, it is beautifully compared to a hind or deer. The true object of its longing is always God, however little it knows for what it is thirsting. But they are happy in their very yearnings who are conscious of the true direction of these and can say that it is God for whom they are athirst. All unrest of longing, all fever of thirst, all outgoings of desire are feelers put out blindly and are only stilled when they clasp him. The correspondence between man's needs and the true object is involved in that name, the living God. For a heart can rest only in one all-sufficient person and must have a heart to throb against. And so when we look at, and we're going to get to why we can have hope here in just a moment, but he's dealing with the soul. And he's telling us, he says, my soul is longing after God. You know, there's only two type of people really in the world. Those whose souls are thirsting and those whose souls are thirsting for God. Because all souls are thirsty. And you will always be thirsty until you find God. And when you find God, it just seems like you still want more of him. Yes, you're satisfied. We talk about where Jesus said, he that drinketh this water shall never thirst again. Well, you know, I don't think he meant that you're never going to need it again, that you're never going to want to try this again. I think it was more of a, you're not going to be desperate again for this drink. You've found something that you know works, something that you know you can go to time and again, and it's always going to be faithful. Whereas before you've come to this well and you've left and you have to come back again and again because it's not satisfying, it's not meeting the need. And this is what David is telling us. And he's here in this first part, he's kind of in his heart and his mind is really probably not in the greatest of places. He's cast down. Notice in verse 3, he said, my tears have been my meat day and night. And they can sit continually saying to me, where is thy God? Anybody ever been there? Mm-hmm. Had those crisis of faith moments? Guess what? If you don't have crisis of faith moments, I might question your faith. Because if you're having crisis of faith moments, that means that you have something that the devil is wanting to get from you. Mm-hmm. And God uses those crisis of faith moments to bring us closer to him. And here is David in a crisis of faith moment. His tears at night. Anybody at night had those thoughts of, God, where are you in all of this? Surely you're not anywhere in the midst of this. Little do we know that God's right there in the middle of it. Mm-hmm. One man said, God's in trouble. And I mean, there's a psalm that says, talks about where the psalmist said, when I'm in trouble, you're in the midst thereof. With me, basically. And he said, God's in trouble. Where trouble is, and if I'm in trouble, he's right there with me. And to know that God's in the midst of our trouble. And so he said, I'm in this place. I've gone to the house of worship with those that were rejoicing. But notice, he's still cast down. His heart is still questioning. He's still in a place of questions and wondering, is there any hope? So this is really where he's at, wondering, is there a reason to hope? Right in the middle of a group of people that love God and are worshiping God, you can feel hopeless. You really can. Hopelessness, depression, those things are real. We don't deny that, but I'll tell you, those things are not reality. A lot of times we allow moments to become portrayed as reality in life, and it's not the case. We see some big picture that gets put up in front of us, and we think it's so realistic, but it's not really it's not reality. It's a real deal. It's a real situation, but it's temporary. So sometimes, even in the house of God, we feel hopeless. But here is David's answer. He begins to look at it over and over again. And in verse 5, why art thou cast down, O my soul, and why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. David, though disquieted, though cast down, says, I will yet praise him for the help of his countenance. One reason you can have hope, I'm going to go through four here today, but one of the reasons you can have hope is God is with you and God is for you. Notice he says, you are the help of my countenance. Here's David dealing with a cast down feeling, feeling that things are not going well. Probably this is directed at him. I don't know exactly what was going on in the life of the psalmist at this time. But here he says, you're my help of my countenance. So one reason you can have hope is that God is with you and he's for you. It's a lot easier. I've got an 8-year-old brother. I have a brother who's 8 years older than me. Let me say that. It was easy. We had this guy that was a big old dude and a big guy. He was my brother's age. And he didn't use his head one day. And my brother, we knew this guy was a smoker. And we told him, that's fine. Just don't smoke in the barn. Well, we go out and the guy's smoking in the barn. Yeah, smart, right? Well, this guy was probably 6'4". And my brother, there was a little hose about that long that was hard rubber hose. And my brother just chunks it at the guy and hits him. Well, me being the little brother, now I was probably 10 at the time. This guy's 6'4". I grabbed that hose and I began to beat this guy with that hose. I would not have done that if my brother had not been there. My brother stopped me, of course. But I had a lot of confidence because Big Brother was behind me, right? Well, if God is for you and God is with you, don't go around beating up people, all right? But you can, one man said, man, sometimes you read the Bible and God directs you to a scripture or you find a scripture and God strengthens your hope. And he says, man, you can charge hell with a water pistol at that point because God is with me and God is for me. So he is the help of my countenance. And I like what the expositor of the Bible said here. He said the true counterpoise to its success lies in directing it to God, talking about hope, and in making him the object of hope and patient waiting. Anybody ever get impatient with God? Anybody? You know, everybody ever prayed for patience? Lord, I need patience, and I need it now, right? I try not to pray for patience because I know that the trying of our faith worketh patience, right? But we sometimes we get so impatient with God, but if our hope is directed towards him, our hope is not in hope. Our faith is not in our faith, and our hope is not in our own hope or strength. Our faith and our hope is in him. And our hope... The strength of your hope or your faith is only as strong as the object of which you're putting it in. And so if my hope is in my hope, well, my hope is fragile and easily swayed. But if my hope is in him who is unchanging, in him who, when the world is shaken, as the book of Hebrews says, and he's not shaken by it, well, then I think it's going to be all right if my hope's in him, because I know that it won't be shaken. Emotions vary, but God is the same. The facts on which our faith feeds abide while faith fluctuates. The facts upon which our faith feeds abide while our faith may fluctuate. What do you mean? Well, God is good. Man, life just got really hard. That means my faith may try to fluctuate. But the fact of what my faith is in is that God is good remains the same. So whether I'm on the mountain or whether I'm in the valley, whether I'm walking in victory or struggling through a valley, struggling through a battle, whether things are going well or whether things are going badly, God is still good. God is still faithful. And that will not change. My faith may tend to fluctuate, but the facts upon which my faith feeds does not.
And the secret of calm is to dwell in that inner chamber of the secret place of the Most High, which whoso inhabits heareth not the loud winds when they call, and is neither dejected nor uplifted, neither disturbed by excessive joys, nor torn by anxieties. My, what a thought that he's not shaken by any of this. And in Psalms 42, there says, deep calleth unto deep. At the noise of thy waterspouts, all thy waves and thy billows are gone over me. Yet the Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime, and in the night his song shall be with me, and my prayer unto the God of my life. I love what Horatio Spafford said in his song, when he wrote, when peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrow like sea billows roll, whatever my lot thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul. That was not written by a man on a mountaintop. That was written by a man who lost all four of his daughters tragically in a shipwreck. And his wife was the only survivor. I tell you, when your hope is in God, and you know God is for you, and God is with you, you can say, well, you know, God, I know that I feel like the mountains, I feel like the waves are trying to overcome and crash against me, but your word says you're going to command your loving kindness towards me. And you also said that in the night your song would be with me. What a thought that in the middle of the night seasons, I can have a song for God. Why can I have hope? God is with me. And God is for me. And then, you know, we've kind of gone through this gloomier mood of Psalms 42. But then Psalms 43, we get to see that gloomier mood has shot its last bolt, so to speak, and grief has no fresh words, and it's beginning to dry up. And the stage of mechanical repetition of complaints is not far from that of cessation of them. So the higher mood conquers at last and breaks into a burst of joyous petition, which passes swiftly into realization of the future joys whose coming shines thus far off. Hope and trust hold the field. The certainty of return to the temple overbears the pain of absence from it, and the vivid realization of the gladness of worshiping again at the altar takes the place of vivid remembrance of former festal approach thither. In Psalms 43, we find finally the psalmist, he's made his complaints. Guess what? It is okay to go before God and pour your heart out. There's a story just came to me of a young lady who life had gotten really hard. She lost her faith, began to deny God and his existence, and just everything was going all apart in her life. And finally she got in the car one day after everything, and she just looked at the heavens and said, God, I hate you. And remember, she'd been denying his existence for a long time. And her testimony was, in a still small voice, he said, I've been waiting for you to see that I'm here. I've been waiting for you to acknowledge me for a long time, basically. And God spoke in her anger, and through her bitterness, God's love and grace went straight through and pierced her heart. Do you think God doesn't know our emotions? You think God can't handle our emotions? We think that we can't go to God with our frustrations and our aggravations. Now we have to be careful. We can't go to God in an accusatory way. God, this is your fault. No, it's probably not. Most definitely, it's not. But we can go to God and say, God, I'm struggling here. I'm in a crisis of faith moment. I am in despair. I don't have a lot of hope right now. There's a lot of things that I have questions about. But, you know, here's the thing. If it's true, truth withstands questioning. That's what I love about it. You know, God can handle you, Believe it or not, you're not too big for God to handle. You're not too dirty. You're not. God can handle you. And that is why you and I can have hope, is that he's with us and he's for us, right? But when we look at, God is also sovereign over our lives. And if God is sovereign over our lives, then he knows everything that's going on with us in the first place. And he knows where he's taking us. And if we'll trust him, he'll lead us. And here's the psalmist saying, he's finally come to the end. And he's like, you know, I have no more tears. I've doled out my complaints. I've counted up the good. And I've numbered the bad. And it looks like, if I put it on a scale, the goodness of God far outweighs the bad. And so finally, in Psalms 43, we find David. He says, plead my cause. God, this is where I'm at. You know what's going on in my life. You plead my cause. There's an ungodly nation. Deliver me. You are the God of my strength. Why dost thou cast me off? Why go out mourning? Because of the oppression of the enemy. Oh, send out thy light and thy truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring me under thy holy hill, into thy tabernacles. Notice he went from complaining to petitioning. He went from whining to worship almost, in a way. He said, God, I want you to send out your light and your truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring me under thy holy hill, into thy tabernacles. And when I go unto the altar of God, unto God my exceeding joy, yea, upon the harp will I praise thee, O God, my God. Why art thou cast down, O my soul, and why art thou disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him, who is the God, for I shall yet praise him, who is the health of my countenance and my God. I'm going to say this, and then we'll pause for a minute, and we'll come back to the last two reasons that we can have hope here, and that is this. We don't know what all transpired in the life of David in this time. We don't know if this was a few days, a few weeks, a few years of his emotional ups and downs and spiritual struggles. We don't know. I don't know much of the history there. I need to read up on it more. I know. And so I'll say this. Sometimes we have to be willing to say, God, I'll love you even in the obscurity. And I'll serve you even in the obscure places. In the places that I don't understand, I'm going to be there. And I'm going to come before you. I'm going to call on you. And I'm going to put my trust in you. And as we do that, we know that we can still have hope. And so you can hope because you can have hope because God is sovereign. Because God is for you and he's with you. But I'm going to pause that and we'll come back for the last two reasons why you can have hope.
We do have a prayer request, a couple prayer requests this morning. Cheyenne Methodist Youth. Pray for Cheyenne Methodist Youth as they travel for fun. They on their way to church camp? Oh, they're the ones going to Dallas for a fun trip. Oh, right on. Chris Carnahan was finally able to get in to see the oncologist and started chemo yesterday. His wife, Denise, is concerned because his wound from previous procedure isn't closed.
Mm. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you. We thank you for this group of young people from Cheyenne Methodist. We pray that you would keep your hand upon them as they travel. Give them traveling mercies. We pray that they have a great time of connection with one another and with those that are mentoring them and overseeing them, that there could be connection and discipleship that take place. And we pray, God, for not just connection with one another, but a deeper connection with you in the long run, Lord, that you would further their relationship with you. We pray for Chris Carnahan. Lord, we pray that you would, we thank you that he was finally able to get into the oncologist and start his chemo. But we pray, God, for this wound, that it would heal up. It would not, that it would not cause any troubles, that you would give his wife Denise peace as well, and that you would just be glorified in this and that your will would be accomplished and your name glorified in Jesus' name. Amen.
And I have an unspoken prayer request for David S-U-N-D-S, sons. S-U-N-D-S.
Sons. S-U-N-D-S.
Sons. I don't know.
Yeah.
Forgive me if I don't pronounce it right.
That's fine.
I know how to spell it, though.
Yeah. Sons. That sounds right. Okay. All right. Well, let's pray for that. Heavenly Father, we pray for David's sons. Lord, you know the situation. You know all the circumstances surrounding that. We don't have to know the details because, but you do, and you know those details, and you know what's going on. And we agree with him. We're agreeing for you to work in that according to your will, and that your name be glorified, and that it would be a testimony to you of your faithfulness. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Okay. Prophetic Voice Ministries is located at 616 North Locust Avenue, right here in Elk City, Apostle Casey Elliott. The Refuge Church is now located at New Liberty, 18304 East 1140 Road, Sayre, Oklahoma. Pastor Powerhouse Tammy Bailey. Stay tuned, y'all. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
This is Pastor Chasten Music with Gateway Church here in Elk City. Our address is 4227 West 3rd Street, just a mile and a half past Tractor Supply. Reach us by phone, 580-225-4646. Encourage you to come and join us just as you are for any of our service times. Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. worship, Sunday evenings at 6 p.m., or Wednesday nights at 6:30 with Bible engagement. We are a church that loves people and loves God. Gateway Church, we are stronger together.
Hello, this is Rick Spain with Spain's Construction with Something to Think About. When you are confronted with difficult situations, it's not the reply of the tongue that matters. It's the response of the heart. That is where the real you lives. If you use words to deal with life, they will only be as valuable as the words. If you put your heart into it, the value is multiplied. Always be ready to provide an answer, and if necessary, use words.
You know you need to get your oil changed, but you keep putting it off because your day is already too busy and you don't want another interruption. We want to do something about that. Barber Dyson Ford will come get your vehicle, service it, and bring it back to you. At work, at home, anywhere. You don't even have to think about it. Just keep doing what you're doing and we'll take care of the rest. No interruptions. Barber Dyson Ford Elk City, only at BarberDysonFord.net. Let us make your life a little bit easier.
When life changes, you have to adjust, like downsizing your household or selling a business. When we had to do that, we called Grant's Auction and Realty. Our family has used them for two estate sales. Mike and Cindy Grant are really organized and they lot and catalog every item. If you're a seller, that gets you top dollar on your items. And if you're a buyer, cataloged items let you study what you want and know about when they'll sell. When that time comes in your life, call Grant's Auction and Realty, 580-225-0269.
We hope